You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Ben Valsler and with Dave Ansell. Coming up, we explore the world of turbulence and find out why turbulence in pipes could be keeping the cost of living up. Now, walk along any beach, almost anywhere in the world, and you'll find plastics washed up on the shore. From plastic bags to lighters, bottle tops to flip-flops even, plastics have even turned up on the coast of Antarctica. But it's not only the visual effect of this human detritus that's a problem. Plastics actually carry pollutants and even life around the globe, sometimes having serious consequences. Planet Earth podcast presenter Richard Hollingham joined David Barnes from the British Antarctic Survey on the Pebble Beach, in the wind and the rain, sadly, at Clye in North Norfolk.
So we're going to walk along two strand lines, one the storm line, where the last time that there was a big storm has deposited lots of natural debris, but also man-made things, and along the strand line from the last big tide. And we're going to walk along and look at some of the more persistent items of debris, particularly plastic, and see what it tells us about the ocean far away from these shores.
So we've got here is a plastic bag, and I think we can probably tell from the green lettering which supermarket that's from. It's torn and it's gone translucent, but it's still retained its essential plastic bagness.
Yeah, plastic bags are made of very, very thin plastic, so they break down relatively easy with salt spray and UV light as long as they stay in the top layer. But even this could have travelled quite some distance, and we can see that looking at it closely, you can see all sorts of things have started to get a grip on top of it, including foraminiferans. So life has started to colonise this plastic bag.
That's amazing. You've also got down here, we think this is probably the heel of a shoe.
What will happen with a lot of this material is when it starts to get broken up, the surface has got a very good texture for settlement because it slows down the water over it. Its boundary effect will be slightly stronger than the smooth pebbles and other smooth things that are typically floating. So life can get a grip and then it can be carried around. But it's not just life. These plastics will absorb all sorts of things such as toxic chemicals and transport those around as well. And so various groups over the UK and elsewhere have been studying what plastics can carry, how far they're carrying them, and what sort of effect they have.
And that, for you, is almost a bigger issue than, yes, they're not aesthetically pleasing to see on a beach here. We've got a green bottle top, there's a little bit of string here, the plastic bag. But it's the fact that not only do these spread toxic chemicals in the environment, they carry life around the environment.
Yeah, and we can see on this piece of plastic twine that we've actually got two different species of hydroids, one on the base there and another one halfway up, and they're actually reproductively active. They'll be releasing larvae, so this is not just transporting the adults around, these will be producing larvae that will settle wherever this goes.
So these tiny little, almost twig-like projections on the side, they're alive, and so they kind of mingle in, they almost become part of the twine there.
Yeah, and actually I found a third species. So we've got three species just on this insignificant little piece of twine. These species are probably native to the UK, but there'll be other species that come in that aren't. And that's where the problem is, that it can make a big difference to local aquaculture and fisheries if some alien pest gets in, becomes established, and then really starts to outcompete or eat our native fauna. But these pieces of plastic travelling for many years, perhaps decades, that means we could get animals and algae and other organisms from all over the world landing on our shores.
It doesn't, I suppose, matter that there's this twine with these life clinging onto it here, but it might matter in other parts of the world.
It's still a problem here, but it is more a problem elsewhere. We have to remember that looking along this strand line here, we can see lots of natural material. We can see seaweeds and we can see bryozoans and other animals, especially crab shells, that have floated here naturally. And they've been doing this for a long period of time. For hundreds of millions of years, life has been floating around this part of the world. But in the polar regions, where there aren't lots of things that float, there aren't shells that naturally float, and there aren't seeds and logs and other material that we would naturally see on our strand line, then plastics there and other floating man-made debris has made a huge difference because it's created this new environment of things floating on the surface, transporting organisms that wasn't there before.
That was David Barnes from the British Antarctic Survey talking to Richard Hollingham, the presenter of the Planet Earth podcast, on the beach at Clye in North Norfolk. And if you enjoyed that, there are more of Richard's podcasts, as well as links to other Planet Earth resources, at thenakedscientists.com/planet-earth.
Still to come, we'll find out how cleverly controlling air movements can cut down on the need for air conditioning, and Diana O'Carroll finds out why travelling backwards can make you feel ill.
If you've got any burning questions on this week's topic, that's turbulence, if you'd like to contact us through Twitter, it's at Naked Scientists, you can tweet that, or you can post a comment on our Facebook page, or send an email to chris@thenakedscientists.com.